I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world His own. O Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia. It may be at midday, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of His glory when Jesus receives His own. Jesus, how long may we shout the glad song? Christ returneth, alleluia, alleluia, amen, alleluia, amen.
Thank you, men, for the reminder that Jesus is coming again. And you know something? It could be today. My friend, are you ready? I hope and pray that you are. I'm so glad to have you with me today for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. In a few minutes, we'll be continuing our study in the New Testament book of James. Today, we begin chapter 5. So I hope you'll stay with me as we look into God's Word together. Some of you listening to my voice know that this program, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. We use radio, internet, and print technology to share the good news of salvation in 21 different languages around the world. Before we get to our teaching for today, I want to tell you a little about one of our newer broadcasts. It's in the Telugu language of India, and it's called Living Hope. About 74 million people in India speak the Telugu language. And this program, Living Hope, has been airing for less than a year, but it's already having a significant impact. The Indian pastor we work with to translate and produce the program sent us this response from a listener. I am Brother Raju. I shepherd a small congregation of believers in Andhra Pradesh state. I lost my wife, and I began to feel lonely and depressed. I listened to the radio once in a while, and once when I tuned in, the song spoke about the love of God, unimaginable to the human mind. As I continued to listen, the message was from the book of Romans. When the speaker asked me to pick up my Bible, I thought, this is the first time a speaker asked me to bring a Bible to the radio. As I am a preacher, I brought my Bible, sat at the radio, and followed the teaching from Romans. I felt the words were for me, to encourage me in my loneliness and depression. I am concerned for my son and daughter. I urge you to pray for my son's salvation, and please remember to pray for my daughter's life partner, that the Lord might show her a fine, strong believer in the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can encourage and bless an Indian pastor in his personal life and his ministry? And you know, the neat thing is, you don't have to leave your home to do it. When you partner with Heralds of Hope through your prayers and financial gifts, this is the kind of impact it has on listeners, even on the other side of the globe. So if you'd like more information on how you can partner with us, stay tuned. Right now, let's pause and ask God to bless our study in the Word. Our gracious Father, we bow in your presence, acknowledging our dependence upon you. We understand that without your hand of mercy upon us, we would cease to live. So we come in gratefulness for the blessing of these moments together, moments spent in the study of your Word. Father, we ask you to open our minds and our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, and then give us grace and wisdom to apply what we learn so we may more clearly reflect your glory. Thank you for hearing our prayer, because we ask in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen. Payday. That word has a welcome sound, doesn't it? I assume that most every worker in every culture and country around the world knows that word in their native language. The toil, the sweat, the exercise of their brawn or brains finally produces a reward. Their labor has been rewarded. The necessities of life can be bought or bartered, and physical life can be sustained. Now, let's suppose you worked all week at your job, whatever that is, and at the end of the week, you didn't receive the paycheck you'd been promised. How would you feel? At the very least, you'd feel cheated. All that labor and no reward. You know, many people who would rise up in indignation at the thought of withholding a person's wages, and rightly so, somehow think they can live their entire lives in self-gratification and then not expect a proportionate reward, or a payday, if you will. We want to look at just such a group in our study from God's Word today. Our text is James chapter 5 and verses 1 to 6. Here James speaks about a group of people who have the problem I just mentioned. Because of their position in life and the way they're accustomed to having their own way, they are blissfully ignorant that a payday is coming. And that's the title of today's teaching. Payday is coming, and it will come on this group of people unexpectedly. In our text, James addresses employers, wealthy employers, unjust employers, employers who have benefited at the expense of their employees. This text is a pronouncement of judgment on them, and it's also a warning to every employer to deal justly with his or her employees. And even if you're not an employer, there are principles here that you will do well to observe and to obey. Now, once again, our text is James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and right now I am reading that portion from the Word of God. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. In this text, James reveals the wages that will come to these unjust employers. The first part of the promised wages is your wealth becomes a curse. James begins chapter 5, verse 1, with the same words he used in chapter 4 and verse 13. Come now. There's definitely a connection between the last verses of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. As I said last week, the modern equivalent of this term, come now, would be for us to say something like, oh, come on, or no, wait a minute. Both times, this is used in the context where the end result turns out to be different than what's expected. The wealthy men in this text, employers, according to verse 4, are told to weep and howl because misery is about to overtake them. Here's a group of men who are accustomed to a life of ease, a life of laughter, mirth, and celebration. They dress in their finery, and they boast in the things that they have accumulated. James says, instead, they should lament and wail because calamities are coming. Hardship and trouble are just ahead, because, like those that we talked about last week, they forgot God. You know, there are many like them today, and sadly, some are in the church. This message probably came as a shock to them. They forgot the words of the preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 13. He said, "There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof, to their hurt." Now, the riches James speaks of in verse 2 aren't monetary. We'll see those later in verse 3. Here, he speaks of things that spoil or rot. The primary wealth of these men was in their harvests, that is, their agricultural produce. And that makes sense. Produce from the soil, because it's organic matter, even if it is stored very carefully, will tend to spoil or rot. Grains get infested with bugs, or they draw moisture and get moldy. The wine would sour and become worthless, and the olive oil could turn rancid. And their many changes of fine clothing, James says, would be moth-eaten. In verse 3, the silver and gold of these wealthy men becomes a liability. Their gold and silver, whether that was in silver plate or coin, would become tarnished. I want you to see the connection here between the agricultural produce, the clothing, and the silver and gold. Why were all of these things moving into a state of decay? It's because these wealthy men were hoarding them. And God said that those things they'd hoarded up would become the evidence that would convict them in His court of justice. Like the wealthy farmer we read about in Luke chapter 12, the actions of these men characterize them as fools because they failed to figure God into their lives and into their plans. So in spite of their wealth, they refused to share with the poor. They were selfish and greedy. They refused to honor God with what He had given them. The produce of their fields, if they had used it in an appropriate length of time, wouldn't have had nearly as much opportunity for spoilage. And silver and gold that's passed from hand to hand in the course of commerce would not have tarnished as quickly as when it's hoarded up in some secret stash. So the very thing they had set their hearts on as a source of blessing and comfort and security and satisfaction, James says, would now become a curse to them. And you know, it will always be so, because God never intended things to produce security. And here, James becomes very graphic. He says that the rust or corrosion of their riches would eat their flesh like fire. Now, there's an obvious connection back to the word cankered that the King James Version uses. The modern term for canker is gangrene. It's a dreaded word today, but imagine how much more dreaded it was at the time James was writing. It struck fear into the stoutest heart, much like the word cancer does for us today. It is possible that the fiery judgment that James foresaw was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. In the Old Testament prophets, one of the issues for which God judged His people most harshly was the oppression of the poor. And that sin was taking place here in this text. And according to Scripture, the sins of materialism and greed will characterize the final days of human history as well. So if you're a person of wealth, and especially an employer, I urge you to take these words to heart. Jesus and the apostles warn again and again in the New Testament about the danger of riches used selfishly. Neither you nor I want to receive the kind of wages that James speaks about here. The next part, then, of the promised wages is, your workers cry for justice. I recall as a young man reading a book titled The Jungle. The novel detailed the horrible working conditions that existed in the meatpacking plants in Chicago at the beginning of the 20th century. And it was those abuses in those meatpacking plants that were at least partly responsible for the establishment of labor unions as a means of offering some protection to their workers. But given the unredeemed nature of mankind, labor unions have given rise to their own abuses of both workers and business owners. Verse 4 introduces this part of the wages. James accuses the wealthy landowners of withholding the wages of their employees. God had given clear instruction to his people regarding the treatment of employees. Leviticus 19:13 and Deuteronomy 24:15 contain very similar language. Listen, "You shall give him his wages on the same day before the sun sets, for he is poor and counts on it, lest he cry against you to the Lord, and you be guilty of sin." In addition, God also promised little patience with those who ignored this command. He said, "I will come near to you in judgment and will be a swift witness against those who oppress the hireling in his wages." That's Malachi 3:5. Now, those are Old Testament scriptures. That's all James had. But there are plenty in the New Testament that address employer and employee relationships. So these landowners had violated God's clear commands, and the cries of the laborers would become evidence against them in God's court of justice. They assumed that because the laborers had no earthly court to hear their case, that they could be oppressed with impunity. But once again, these wealthy men forgot something. They forgot God. They forgot he was watching and he was keeping a record. The cries of these workers for justice came into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Adam Clark says, "Lord of hosts or Lord of armies is a frequent title for God in the Old Testament. It signifies his uncontrollable power and the infinitely numerous means he has for governing the world and defending his followers and punishing the wicked." That's the end of the quote. These verses warn every employer, but especially those who profess to follow Christ. There is no just cause for oppressing your employees. Proverbs 14:31 warns us, "He that oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he that honors him has mercy on the poor." You know, I'll never forget the kindness of a former employer who paid us out of his personal funds when there were no business funds to meet the payroll. And even though he made no profession of faith, his care for us as his employees would put some Christian business owners to shame. In today's business world of international acquisitions and mergers, companies are often bought and sold by speculators. And those speculators have no compassion for the employees of the companies that they buy or sell. Their only goal is to enrich themselves and their shareholders. If the employees suffer or lose their job as a result, these greedy men, they don't care. But they've made the same mistake that the wealthy men James wrote about. They're forgetting God. The cries of the disenfranchised workers will ultimately come into the ears of the Lord of hosts, and payday for these wealthy, unjust employers will bring a curse instead of a blessing. And then there's a final part of the promised wages. It is, "Your wantonness comes to an end." The descriptions that are given in the last two verses of our text are so relevant, so contemporary, because they outline a lifestyle that's based on consumption. Today, many wealthy church members live in luxury while church mission programs go begging. People pile up possessions, they hoard their financial resources, and they have lavish wardrobes. While they profess Christ, their lifestyle choices show that they've given themselves to sensuality and gratification of their fleshly appetites. This is the very thing that the Holy Spirit inspired James to strongly condemn. Many Western Christians are addicted to entertainment and pleasure. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, sporting events drew huge crowds, but most prayer meetings were poorly attended. And often the largest crowds are found at churches with the liveliest entertainment and little solid preaching of the Word of God. Too many church parking lots look like the lot of a luxury car dealership, And anyone who suggests a need for followers of Christ to be self-controlled and disciplined in all areas of life is either subjected to slander or pushed aside and labeled as legalistic. Part of the indictment in these verses deals with uncontrolled eating. That's almost a taboo subject today. The rise of smorgasbord and all-you-can-eat type restaurants has led to a corresponding increase in obesity, heart disease, and other ailments. So this is relevant for us today. People are literally killing themselves by their out-of-control appetites. And you know what happens when people become controlled by their appetites? They become so accustomed to having what they want that they will accept no opposition. Anyone who gets in the way of them satisfying their appetites will not be tolerated. Though these people may once have embraced Christ and the principles of His Word, now the end justifies the means to their sensual satisfaction. That's the way it was during the days in which James was writing. And it's that way today. And it will be true at the end of time as well. Just read Revelation chapter 18 for a graphic portrayal of this. But James warns those who live controlled by their passions, God won't permit this to go on forever. A day of reckoning is near. The promised payday is coming. Each of us will need to give an account of ourselves before Almighty God and then receive the just wages that we've earned. My friend, are you ready for the payday that is coming?
Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but His love abides forever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Sweetest comfort of my soul, with my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll.
Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love,
oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life and love.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. In His cross my trust will be,
till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see.
Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love.
Oh, the fullness of redemption, love above, pledge of endless love above.
Thank you, Voice of Praise, for that stirring challenge. I want more of Jesus and less of this old world with its delusions of grandeur. I want to be more faithful in using the resources God has given me to bring the message of the gospel to those who haven't yet heard. I want to live in this world with the mindset of a pilgrim, someone who's just passing through. How about you, my friend? Perhaps the Lord has spoken to you today through His Word, and you know there are some changes you need to make. I want you to know that our staff would be glad to pray for you. Change in our lives can be difficult, especially if our patterns of behavior are deeply ingrained. but God's grace is sufficient to give us the victory, and the prayers of His people can be a very important part of winning the battle. So will you let us know how we can pray for you? There are several ways you can send your prayer request to us. You can send an email to us at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And if you'd like a copy of the teaching you heard today, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. Just ask for it by its title, Payday is Coming. Or you can log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Now, once again, you may send your prayer request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. And you can ask for your copy of the teaching, Payday is Coming. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you can join me next week as we continue our study in the book of James. Our teaching for next time is titled, Lift Up Your Heads. I look forward to sharing this encouraging message with you. And until we meet again,
times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, free from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Onward we then will fly, glory to share.